Hello and welcome to another episode of The Grey NATO.
The Gravel NATO.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Grey NATO, a loose discussion of travel, adventure, diving, driving, gear, and most certainly watches. This is episode 384, and it's proudly brought to you by the always-growing TGN supporter crew. We thank you all so much for your continued support, and if you'd like to support the show, please visit the newly redesigned and launched website, thegreynato.com, for more details. My name is Jason Heaton, and I'm joined, as ever, but seldom in person, by my friend and co-host, James Stacey, who happens to be sitting right across from me. James, here we are.
Here we are, yeah. Our voices are a little toasted. We had an evening of loud talking, which we'll get to in a moment on Friday, and then lots of loud talking over a boat motor.
And breathing bottled air, too, which dries you out a bit, too. Yeah.
I hope everybody's good with an extra gravelly sort of sort of run on the show here. But yeah, we're here in Chicago. We're here for a wind-up and the wind-up in a lake and a bunch of hangouts and a great event with Citizen. Where do we start? I mean, this won't be a normal sort of episode. We should probably remind everybody that we're going to take 2 weeks off after this episode. So we get to hang out together here in Chicago this weekend, and then we're taking the rest of July off. We'll be back something like August 6th, I think was the that first Thursday in August is, we'll be back. So we appreciate people kind of allowing us the time to take a little break. It's nice to do in the summer. But Jason, I mean, with Chicago, it feels like a show we've been to before.
Yeah, it's good to be back, you know, and it's always, you know, we just got back from a walk for a coffee, and it's hot and humid, you know. I mean, it's kind of classic Chicago July. It was good to get out on the water yesterday and, you know, get underwater, cool off a bit. And it's in some ways it feels so familiar, and every time we come it's something new, a few new people, obviously some new watches, and it's exciting. I love being here.
Yeah, and a new one for me, because it's the first time I've done the wind up in a lake.
Oh yeah,
right. First time I've done any major actual diving, certainly off a boat in Great Lake.
Yeah, right.
So definitely we'll get to all of that in a moment. It was a full day, that's for sure. Do you want to kick it off with a quick
Sure. Yeah. Very fitting one for both of us here. I am wearing the watch that I got to take diving yesterday, which is the Citizen ProMaster Diver, the legendary Ecozilla. It's the BJ8050-08E in steel with the Destro crown. Just a massive thing with the big long rubber strap, which didn't even need an extension to fit over my 7mm wetsuit sleeve yesterday. Just incredible loom. We torched it up on the boat on our evening cruise back yesterday. Everybody was kind of doing that with their Citizens, because Citizen was kind enough to sponsor that that dive outing yesterday, the wind up in a lake. And so everybody had these bright glowing Citizens on the boat, which was really cool. But yeah, that's what I've got on. You know, this watch brings back a lot of memories, because I back in my kind of early days of collecting, I remember, and I'm sure you do too, on the forums, this was one of those watches that people just
The Orca.
Yeah, the Orca. I forgot about the Orca. I had an Orca too, right? And I had an Autozilla, which was kind of the more exotic cousin of this one, which was a little beefier and it had a bigger crown. It was less comfortable. It was heavier because it had this mechanical movement in and whatever. And I think I had an Ecozilla for like 5 minutes. So it's really good to have it back on the wrist. It's a fun watch. It just looks like nothing else. And you know, our buddy Brock Stevens, who was along for the dive yesterday and taking some underwater photos, snapped a couple photos of me wearing this. And just from a distance, this watch just like pops off the wrist. It's just,
yeah, there's nothing quite like the Ecozilla stuff or the Orca, to be fair. It's a combination of the case, the kind of diminutive dial size versus the size of the case. There's so much of it's meant for bezel. And then the way that, you know, the lugless connection really makes a huge watch sit real tight down on the wrist.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't necessarily make day-to-day sense with a t-shirt.
Yeah,
certainly right. During Chicago windup, why not?
Yeah.
But on a wetsuit,
yeah,
it looks right
at home. And I remember also from back in the forum days that the thing that people would do is get these aftermarket strap adapters that you could wear a conventional strap, and you were just telling me, like, you said I could 3D
you could
print
probably 3D print something.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, right? Some kind of a template for it. But that's really coming full circle in my collecting career.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody listening has some of those strap adapters in a drawer.
Yeah, right.
Or remembers the name of the fellow that was producing them, right? Yeah, good. I'm wearing my now storied. We will get to this story. It's insane story. This is something that you can't make up, and I'm sure some people won't believe us. But my now storied Citizen Aqualand duplex, so it's from the mid-late 90s. It's the C506Q007-11TA, which is kind of cool because yesterday was 7-11, and that's in its reference number, and yesterday was quite a big day for this watch. It had, certainly a longer dive than I did. Hey, everybody, James here, just cutting in because we had some sort of a problem with interference on the mics, and no matter how much I tried to code over it, with software, I really couldn't make it listenable to, so I'll fill you in. Basically, I was giving you a bit of a background on how I got the watch, which is this Aqualand came to me via Foglark. Our good buddy Devin was the one that sorted that and got it to me. He wanted it because it came on like a waterborne, I think it's called, like a vintage style special collectible NATO. And shout out to Devin. It was great to see you at Chicago, of course. And now let's jump back into the tape. Anyway, so I've been wearing this for a while, and then I was planning to bring it out because I wanted to take it diving. And then, as luck would have it, our good buddy Ben at the Submersible Wrist, he reached out and said, I actually have the bracelet, the real bracelet for that watch. Yeah. And it turns out that he owns a duplex as well, and he hunted around, quite difficult to find one of these bracelets. They're unobtainium, if you'll allow me to use the term. And then once he got it, he didn't like it.
Oh.
He said never could get the sizing right on his wrist or the comfort or whatever, so he passed it on to me. I made him a little trade with some swag I had floating around the office, as I like to do. Gets rid of some swag. I get a bracelet. Everything's good. And so, that's what I'm wearing. I think it looks so period. It's like a car on the right wheels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like like I've said before, everything looks good on TEs or whatever. Yeah. But a 90s Merc on monoblocks is a special thing, and this kind of is in that vibe. It looks extra Japanese now.
Yeah.
And it's got a little bit of a rattle to it because they're hollow end links, and I brought a lot of tools so I could size it. I sized it at the bar during our Citizen event when he gave it to me, but I didn't bring like something to like fine adjust the little tabs. But it's not bad for titanium. It looks essentially unworn until I banged it up yesterday, as you're gonna do, and it had an adventure of its own. I love it. I love it on the bracelet. It's, it's just, they don't make watches that look like this anymore. Maybe for good reason. I'm not saying this is a pretty watch.
Yeah.
But I do really like it.
Well, it's such a function first piece that just was from an era when dive computers were still in their infancy. And, that watch did what it was supposed to do. And yesterday would, prove that out. So
for sure.
Yeah. I, in addition to this one, I was wearing my old Aqualand, my kind of first gen 1985 Aqualand, and I was a little nervous. We talk more about it when we get into the dive, but I decided not to wear my dive computer because I had this Aqualand on that tracks your depth and,
yep,
and dive time, and we were doing a single dive, so I didn't have to worry too much about repetitive diving and that sort of stuff. Yeah. And but I was a little nervous because I do the battery changes myself, and it's got like 8 little tiny screws on the back, and then it's a thin little gasket that's shaped funny like the shape of the case, and
it looks like a manifold gasket for like a weird motor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I thought to myself, did I do it right last time? Because I hope it's watertight. And it held its own. It did fine. Tracked the dive fine and whatever. So it was, it's fun to take these old ones on dives and actually see them do what they're supposed to.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was I didn't get a chance to do that.
okay, we got to get into that shortly here.
We'll do a quick, we got in Friday.
Yeah.
And I went to the show. That's where we met up. The show this year, a big shout out to the Wind Up team, of course, and the team at Worn and Wound. We're huge fans. We come to this show and just so that everybody's clear, like, we did an event with Citizen, but Jason and I paid our own flights to get out here and our Airbnb. Like, we love being here. And the show was great, huge, like considerably larger.
Nice venue. It's a place called Morgan MFG Morgan Manufacturing. I think it's like an old, old industrial space, warehouse or something. And
great AC.
Yeah, good AC, great natural light.
Great natural light, great for photos,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and they had a nice nice bar, and they had, Citizen was right inside the door with kind of a cool display. It's 50 years of EcoDrive, which was kind of fun to see them celebrating with this kind of funky light display. Having just been, so this is an interesting year for me because having only done Wind Up Chicago in the past, I did San Francisco back in whenever it was, May. And so it's kind of cool to do a second show. I mean, in some ways, it was a bit repetitive because I saw a lot of the same brands.
Yeah, of course.
Same booths and things. But it's just nice to see. And then, I don't know if we want to give it away, but you and I will be doing a little something in New York in October at Wind Up New York. So it'll be fun to kind of compare three different shows for the first time. So.
Yeah, it's not looking like there'll be an event, but if you know Wind Up New York, like an event, like a party.
Yeah.
If you know Wind Up New York, it's part of New York Watch Week, and there is 20 parties every night.
Oh, yeah.
It's very diminishing returns. It's an incredibly difficult city to get people to show up if there's other things going on. So we're not sure that's the mode, but there should be a cool event. And as soon as any sort of an RSVP or more details come alive, that's around. But if you're going to be if you're going to be in New York in October, that's going to be really good. Anything stand out at the show? We did a quick. It was maybe there for an hour and a half, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to swing by the Doxa booth and check out the new T-Graph
a little further.
You know, I saw it briefly in San Francisco before it was even released, and you know, chat with those folks and just catch up with, you know, VJ from Oris and Mike from Christopher Ward. The one that kind of stood out that you and I kind of lingered over for a while was from Prevail, this small brand that's doing these funky kind of just very simple but very functional looking field watches. Like $275. Kind of punk rock, sort of, you know.
It's a little bit sci-fi. There's an element of like geek air in there.
Oh yeah.
I don't really know how to describe them. I would recommend hit the show notes, check them out if you don't know Prevail. They were selling watches for $275. They have these sort of wild looking cases, smaller dials, and then a very nice sort of either application of more of like an explorer style dial, so 12-369, or more of an angular futuristic sort of dial. A few different colors I really liked. They're all like sandblasted, like very like hyper matte cases, and then that like yellow orange color I thought was quite successful. They call it sunshine orange, which that works for me. I thought these were really cool. Not that big, like I wouldn't call them small because of the case shape. Again, see the photos and you'll get an idea. But yeah, I thought the Prevail stuff looked really cool. They've been around for a couple years, I guess, but new to me.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. What else stood out? What else? You know, I'll be honest. I it was more about meeting folks. I mean, it was just every corner you turn, someone says hello, and you pose for a photo and chat with people. And
yeah, had a nice chat with Jonathan from Brew. That's always a treat. Our good buddy Tom from Hassler was there, and he had stuff. I mean, I went to say hi to him, and there were people just like literally there was a man with like a wad of cash in his hands going, "I just want to buy this one."
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Tom. He's like, I just want to say, you know. Yeah. And so he's doing very well. And his stuff, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's the absolute Rolls Royce of spring bars. Yeah,
that first year you and I did Wind Up Chicago was his first year doing Wind Up. And I remember his booth was around the corner from us, and he crushed it there as well.
I think he sold everything.
And he's got a wait list now. I mean, the guy's just, it's been fun to see the trajectory of his product. He's been great.
It's such a high-end product.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's handmade by this guy.
Like in his home.
We'll put that in the show notes, of course, if you don't know the Hassler Instruments spring bar tool. It's overkill, but in the best way possible. The one that stood out for me, and I bought a bunch of buckles from them, is the Fitwell Microjust buckle. I need to be clear. I got the show discount. I didn't ask it for no additional discount. I paid my own money for it, but I haven't put them on a strap yet. I've only had them for a couple days. If you're on Watch Instagram, you've seen these ads. It's a Tang style buckle that has like a detente system where with a bit of pressure it can extend another couple of millimeters or go in, I guess, depending on which one. It's probably not, I don't know the exact amount of adjust. So I bought a 20 and an 18 in steel and a 20 in titanium, and stay tuned for a future report. But that was one where I probably wasn't going to just buy them off of an Instagram ad, but when I saw it in person and I was like, well, I'm right here.
Yeah.
And it was either they had a 15% off show discount or something.
Easy to carry.
Yeah. Easy to get take home, tiny for sure. But that was the other one I did. And then look, after that, we boogied over to our sushi spot. We ate an absolute mountain of sushi.
I mean, we ate an absurd amount of food.
Yeah. We're going to need a few more subscribers after that, Bill.
Yes, please sign up at thegreatnato.com. Fund our sushi habit. Between this and the place in Toronto, this twice a year sushi thing we got.
Already looking forward
fantastic.
To September.
Fantastic. I woke up this morning actually thinking about that, Tanoshi, the place where we go on Randolph here in Chicago. Highly recommend. Our waiter was great. He just kind of kept us busy with plate after plate, stuff we ordered, and I'm always struck by sushi in that you can just eat so much of it without feeling full until an hour later.
You're full, but I never feel gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I just could have kept going.
Oh yeah.
Like I just could have kept going. It's just, it's wild. It's crazy. So
yeah, I got like a second stomach for Toro and Uno.
Oh gosh.
It just goes so into one of the legs.
It's so good. So then after our sushi dinner, you know, where we solved the problems of the world while stuffing ourselves, we made our way over to Forbidden Root for our TGN citizen evening event, our meetup, and huge success. But you know, just quickly following up on the sushi feast, I didn't have any extra space in my stomach for any of the food that they served there. They put out a nice spread.
It was awesome. Yeah,
big thanks to Forbidden Root. You know, we chatted with Brian, who's the CEO, last week to kind of put the final touches on our event, and then I don't remember the general manager's name, but everybody there was super helpful. It was great. It was very easy. It was a nice venue. Really well attended, and the food spread looked good, even though I didn't try it. People seemed to like all the stuff they put out.
But a couple hours in, like towards what would have been the normal end, it went a little later than we had kind of billed for it. But a couple hours in, I went to find a chicken wing, and they were all gone. So
that's a good sign.
I tried some of like the bar snacks, and it was all delicious, popcorn and things like that.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think we had RSVPs, you know, 80 plus, you know, 90 people, whatever, and people really did hang out a long time, and it was fun. It was, you know, I'd list some names of people, but I'd forget people, and I don't want to do that. But it was just such a great crowd. Met new people. Apologies for not remembering names. I mean, you know, these are having not been to Chicago last year and come the year before, and then you know a couple times before that. There's so many familiar faces here. These people that keep coming back, and it's always good to see them and see some of the watch collections and the generosity of some folks. You know, we each got some coffee to bring back.
Oh
with
yeah.
Us. Just a really good time. And thanks to Citizen, we had two watches to give away as well.
Two watches, hats, custom hat, which
stickers.
I'm wearing and really like.
I love
get lots
hat.
Of use out of it.
Might be my favorite TGN cap.
Yeah. It's a cool gray cap. Citizen was great. Raffled two watches. I thought we were doing one so that they had two watches, both great dive options. I thought it was just like another perfect sort of party. Like if people came out, everybody understands the vibe. I got to size a bracelet on the bar with a great IPA.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a happy guy. Like it was all right. And I got to be kind of like, I just sound like an old man when I say this. Even with it blowing well past 9, I was in bed before midnight.
Oh yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad.
And then that takes us to Saturday where basically the whole day was doing this stuff for the diving. But we got invited to sort of a pre-event hangout. Yeah, I don't know how is that a that's not a secret event maybe.
No,
it's invite only. It's at someone's home.
Yeah, but. So Ben Lowry's father lives in Oak Park. It's a suburb of Chicago, and this was our first year attending this little
little barbecue
dive preview thing. It was this time it was a barbecue. Greg is his name, Ben's dad, and he's a fellow nerd like all of us. And I love how Chris Soule put it. It's the nerd sanctuary, his house. And he was generous enough to open his home to us and grill up some good food and serve some really, truly horrible beverages.
I avoided the Malort. I was sticking with Kelly's
beer.
I
thought everybody was having the Malort. And then this tray comes out, and I'm looking around. I'm like, really? Do we all have to do this? And I thought everybody had taken it. And then, later I was like, boy, I really regret having that Malort. And people are like, you had that? I didn't have that. But
I was just blown away. When somebody's like, oh, Heaton really struggled, like put it down.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, Heaton had a Malort? Because you and I had Malort years ago. Shout out Clark.
Horrible. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know that I don't mind. Like, I'm not here to say that I would ever buy it and drink it. Yeah. But like, it's the aftertaste.
Yes,
it's the 20 minutes later.
Yeah, it is.
Where it's ruined your mouth.
Yeah, I had to suck down like four pieces of watermelon.
You need a new mouth.
Yeah,
after that, for sure. So yeah, we're there, and you know, it's hanging out in the backyard in the sun, chit chatting, setting up dive gear a little bit, like people getting ready for that, eating some brats and hot dogs and some pretty tasty potato salad. Never not happy to see a potato salad on the menu, and then I look over and in the living room there's just. How many watches are on that table? There's a smallish coffee table with every square inch was really cool.
Watches. I took a top down photo. I should do a count and just see how many watches are on that table. Some had appeared the night before at our event at Forbidden Root, but a lot were new and were there, and it was Yeah, a truly crazy collection. There were a few that really stood out. Tom Place and I were exchanging messages this morning, and I'd posted a photo of this Hoyer Regatta piece and said that it was kind of the blacked out version, just a pristine example. And I said that one was probably my favorite on the table, and he concurred. But then there was also that IWC Aqua Timer, the GST Titanium.
I think that's a 3586, or it might be the one before that.
Yeah, yeah.
The one without the no black yellow, the captive bezel,
yes,
the thin hands.
Yeah, the GST version. Yeah, yeah, not the dual crown.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bezel that you have to push to turn. I mean, it just reminded me of how great IWC was back in the late 80s, early 90s. And that one was probably the winner for me. But yeah, it was quite the collection. There were just a ton of doxes and some really weird stuff on the table. And yeah, it was a good crowd. Everybody just kind of threw their watches in this pile, which I always love. You know, it's the watches, and then the watches kind of are vehicles for conversation and stories, and just such a great crowd there. And then, you know, by, I don't know, that we were there about noon, and then around a little after two, we all had to pack up and make the long drive over to Indiana, over to Hammond, just across the border to get on the dive boat. I think we were supposed to be on the boat by about three.
Yep.
for the journey. There's out.
Probably four vehicles of gear, maybe more.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, got as much gear as they could on this boat and kind of strapped it down best we could. And then we went underway, and they said it would be something like an hour, and it was something like 2 hours, and it was like fairly choppy.
It was choppy. It was
getting tossed around.
It was like a north wind blowing right down the lake, and we set off, and they said, oh, it should be about an hour of motoring, and we're like, okay, easy. I think probably all of us set our bezels.
Yeah, I started the chrono on the
aqua. I remember looking like, okay, an hour, and then it was like an hour five, hour 10. I thought we must be almost there, but I just kind of bashing against that kind of oncoming swell and wind, I think, just kind of slowed us down. And yeah, it was 2 hours almost to the minute there, and we didn't arrive at the site, this wreck that we were diving, until it was a little after 5:30. Probably didn't get in the water till 6.
I have my story of my own, of course, in a moment, but do you want to talk through the wreck itself, the Wellsbert?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, so we dove a wreck that sank in 1883. It was called the Wellsbert. It was a 200-foot bulk carrier, so a freighter from back in the day, that started to take on water during a storm and sank. And intact is the wrong word for a wreck like that, but you know, definitely recognizable as a ship, a former ship, now a wreck. Obviously made of wood back in the day. There was a big capstan kind of winch at the front. At the bow end, for raising and lowering the anchor, presumably, that was still visible, as well as a lot of dead eyes, which are the bits along the side that they run the ropes through for raising and lowering sails. Those are still, there were quite a few of those intact along the gunwales. Some cargo holds that were open, although, you know, to swim through them, you're just going through, you know, a floor that's largely disintegrated. But it was fun to kind of swim up and back. The visibility was fairly decent. We had, I think some people were saying 20 feet. That might be a little generous, but, you know, not bad for Great Lakes.
I didn't see 20 feet because there was a couple times where I was two fin kicks.
Oh.
I was also having a blast. We can talk gear in a moment. I was maybe two fin kicks and I would roll over and you weren't, and I could just barely see the shadow of your existence.
Oh, yeah.
It was maybe 12 feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the real story for me, for everybody like diving that's done Great Lakes diving, is like somebody said it was 70 degrees Fahrenheit water all the way to the bottom. Now, granted, it was only a 40-foot deep wreck. So I'm sure at some point, if you go deeper, there's going to be a thermal climb and it's going to be a lot colder. But that is fairly unheard of for any diving in the Great Lakes.
I definitely could have been no gloves, no hood.
I've always dived, except my first couple of dives many years ago, I've always dived dry, you know, in a dry suit in the Great Lakes, and I'm glad I just brought my wetsuit this time. It was, a dry suit would have been overkill. Brock was in a 3 mil and said he was comfortable. Landon, who we'll talk about in a bit here, didn't wear a hood. Some guys were without gloves. I mean, totally was doable, and it kind of made it pleasurable. I mean, a lot of what inhibits Great Lakes diving is just how, you know, you get that ice cream headache after, you know, 20 minutes and you're just ready to come up, and it was a good 40 to 45 minutes. Minute dive, and I still had plenty of air left at the end. So it was, It was a good time. Yeah, it was great. And, you know, double action diving, the charter on the boat, the Sequest 2 was a good time. It's a good boat, plenty of room on the dive deck, even for, I think we had 11 guys diving.
A lot of tanks, a lot of gear. A lot of wetsuits everywhere, fins.
To me, this weekend, that even just, I don't know, 36 hours of it, it's kind of everything that's good. You know, you got gear, you're out on a boat, out doing something active outdoors, gear and diving, and then you throw in the watch element, and just Kelly Beer Nye from Fathead Brewing brought up some beers for us. We had Jimmy John's for lunch after the dive, and it's just great to, you know, shoot the breeze with people that you just don't see that often. Yeah. I mean, Chris Scott, who's the local guy, is a dive instructor here in Chicago, and he kind of helps organize every year. Always good to catch up with him. You know, I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. I don't know. It's everything I love about this doing this event.
Well, we're burying the watch lead.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. So I really wanted to dive this Aqualand, this 90s Aqualand that I've already talked about, the 506. And let's be clear, I probably should have just left it on the NATO that I wore it out here on. I was diving in Chris Soule's 7mm suit, which has double cuffs. So I had the first cuff pulled all the way up, and then I was just able to get the watch on the bracelet. It has a ratcheting dive extension. I was just able to get it on my wrist. And yeah. I was like, all right, we're good there. It was snug. I thought we were fine. I had my Garmin on my right wrist. So if I'm running my inflator, I can still look at the computer.
Yeah.
And so get in the water, and you and I don't really like sitting in that much gear any longer than I have to. Just get me in the water. And I don't think that's rare. That's probably how most people feel. So as soon as they were like, all right, let's start getting, I was like, you want to go? And you're like, yeah, let's go. So I think we were the third or fourth people in the water. And what I didn't realize was they expected us all to like hang out on the surface for a photo. So we had to wait like quite some time.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of fending around, trying to stay somewhere near you or keep you within some sort of an eye line.
Yeah.
I'm wearing gear I've never used before, including brand new type of gear, which we can get to after this fun story. And so I'm just kind of fiddling around, and then I feel the bracelet release. And I stick my mask in the water, and I see my Aqualand kind of skittering down, kind of shimmying its way down. And I go, I lost the watch. And everybody's like, no, no. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? Like, there's going to be 12 people on the rack in a moment. So if it's good, if it could be found.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then in a minute, I didn't even finish that sentence in my mind. I said, nope, that watch is gone.
Well, and where we jumped off, you know, we go off the starboard side of the boat, and the boat was anchored near the wreck. So, as the wind was blowing, we're kind of off the wreck. And I thought where we were kind of floating around waiting for people to jump in the water, I thought we were way off where the wreck would be. So I thought to look for the watch would require swimming off into the blue in this, you know, generous 15-foot visibility, kind of looking around in the clay bottom for this watch. And I thought there's just the chances are next to none that you'll be able to find something like this. Plus you'd have to leave the wreck and go and do this search for it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And in that scenario, you could leave the wreck and not come back and find it. You know, I'm not a navigation diver. I'm not that sharp on those skills. So I was just kind of, I didn't want to ruin anybody's mood. So I just let it go. I was like, oh, the watch is gone. That's really sad. It was a very cool thing. Thankfully, I'm not out a ton of money or whatever, very disappointing. And tried to focus on enjoying the dive. Of course, you know, we were gifted these incredible flashlights, which we can talk about in a moment. So I was using mine and just kind of sweeping back and forth. I'm like, hey, maybe I'll catch an eye on it. I have no idea, because the viz wasn't good enough where you could tell where the boat was above us.
Yeah.
So I couldn't orient myself. I knew that I must have dropped it over the wreck.
Yeah.
Because when we dropped, we were still on the wreck.
Oh, were we? Oh, okay.
When we came it down.
Oh, yeah.
We were right on the nose of the wreck.
Yeah.
And so, you know, swam around. I was, I can fill in a few things here. So one of the fellows who Jason mentioned, Landon, owns Deep Six Gear, which is a dive equipment manufacturer. And when I told Chris Soule that I would just rent whatever was needed, he decided, you know, he spoke with Landon. So I was essentially borrowed a brand new backplate and wing, brand new fins, brand new bunch of stuff.
Yeah. You were unwrapping it.
Yeah. But I've never dove a backplate and wing. I own a jacket, which is back and flate, which is kind of like a middle ground, but you're still, you know, you're wearing a vest.
Yeah.
With this, it's just a couple of straps of webbing, a big NATO's.
Right. Right.
Of. kind of holding it on, and then you have a wing, and they look like very little gear. And then like this wing is, I think, was 35 pounds of lift or 30 pounds of lift, which is more than my stiletto, which I think is 22 pounds. And very simple thing to kind of understand. You get to use a steel plate, in this case made sense. So that can be part of your weight allotment. Really incredible. Like I didn't really know what to expect. I knew that people like them because it feels like you're wearing very little gear. And also they're designed to make trimming as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Trimming where you're floating fully horizontal and you can keep your ankles up. And man, as soon as we got to the bottom and I made two small hits to the inflator and I was like, oh my God, I'm just hanging.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no gear on me.
Yeah.
Once I figure out what the mix would be for travel, cause that's the type of diving that I like to do or will do in the future. I think I'm converted.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
It felt so free. I can't imagine what it would be like in a rash guard and a bathing suit.
Oh, yeah.
To have just that.
Right. Yeah.
It must have been like what it was, you know, those basic rigs back in the 60s. You know, I'd be reaching for my J valve if the.
Couple of straps and a tank on your back, really. Yeah.
So huge shout out to Deep Six and to Landon, who not only loaned me that gear for the dive, but also like helped me set it up and size it and explained how to do the weighting because I didn't know how much weight to bring. I was kind of guessing where I would land.
He was great, and the Deep Six gear looked great, and
yeah, the fins were crazy.
And he also, I've got this as a final note, so I'll kind of hold off on this, but he also kind of facilitated the procurement of the some of the swag that all of us got on the boat that we're diving, which is this great dive torch that we all used. But I'll get to that later in the final notes. But yeah, he was a great addition to the group. This was his first year coming up for it. He's based in Florida. Has an interesting background, and his company's looks really great. So yeah, it was fun.
And I was boring the fins as well, which are kind of like Apex style.
Yeah.
But he was like, they're a little bit more rigid, even more rigid than Apex.
Yeah.
And I've dove Apex before. Fantastic fin, well regarded. These are so rigid, I couldn't flutter kick.
Yeah.
It like immediately made one of my knees burn.
Oh.
So I had to frog kick. And then as soon as I started frogging or even just little like shuffles.
Yeah.
You're just an absolute motor. And then the coolest thing is they're so rigid that if I wanted to roll over to see where you were or where anybody else was, it was like one kick and you were on your back and one and you're back on your belly.
Oh yeah.
It was just really nice. It was delightful gear. I would love to try stuff like that in Mexico.
Oh yeah.
Like something like that. Yeah. So I'm very interested in the backplate and wing thing. If it can be, you know, kind of fine tuned for some lighter travel.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun one. And then we get back on the boat. You know, it's a whole process to get back on the boat. The water's quite choppy. There's a technique to getting out. It was nice because I was able to find you because you had a yellow tank, which was helpful.
Yeah.
And you have those force fins.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to tell you from somebody else.
Yeah, you were easy too because your straps were white. I had
bright white straps.
And white fins. And white it was so fins. Easy to just like,
And because everybody has a flashlight.
Yeah.
Tom Place had like 8 flashlights. Yeah. I'm joking, of course, but he had more than one. Yeah. At one point, I saw Tom just kind of hovering just over the bottom, but standing like vertical.
Oh, yeah.
And he had his flashlights were all pointed downward and it looked very cinematic. But yeah, so we get back on the boat and then people start going, somebody lost a watch. And I was like, yeah, it was me. I lost my Aqualand. I think a spring bar popped or something like that. And then people are still getting back on the boat and I'm still kind of commiserating. Again, I'm trying not to bring the mood down, trying to keep it light. I'm bummed. It's a watch. I like it. And it's kind of embarrassing. You know, you lost your watch on the dive and that sort of thing. And then as I'm talking, Jeff, Watch Cows Dive, as you know him from Instagram, he sits down, takes his mask off and like cuts me off. And he goes, this one? And pulls it out of his pocket. And I was like, there's no possible way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he had been filming. And then I guess once people started to leave, he had a bunch of air left and he figured, oh, I'll actually spend a minute on the wreck. And he said he did a little lap of the mid section, maybe mid back third.
Yeah.
And just saw it sitting.
Unreal. Yeah.
Just grabbed it and brought it up. And I just like, I couldn't even believe it. Because at the moment that when he was getting back on the boat, a bunch of the guys were saying, oh, we all have 1,000 pounds left. We'll go back in and find it.
Yeah.
Like, let's go have some fun.
Yeah.
And the captain was like, well, let's. They were trying to figure out a roll call for a second recovery. I was out of my dry wetsuit by then.
Yeah.
I wasn't going back in.
Yeah.
And then he just pops it out of his pocket with this like look of just such a grin.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, man, what a guy. So yeah, Jeff found it. Shout out to Jeff. I will have to find some way of repaying the kindness.
You can't script that.
No, it was an insane moment. But we did learn what happened. It wasn't a spring bar. Spring bars are intact. At the end of the dive extension of the ratcheting, I think we shouldn't call it a dive extension anymore. At the end of the ratcheting extension, if you go beyond the last tooth,
yeah,
it's just held on by a bit of tension.
Yeah.
So if you give it a tug, it just
slides
opens.
Out. Yeah.
It just opens. So that's what happened. So I have it back on my wrist and I have the watch recovered. I mean, I think we all know stories of people who have lost watches in bodies of water. Tom Place.
Yeah. Right.
You know, has spent years looking for his. The fact that this thing was gone and then back. In all the exact bottom time was a second over 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think you and I were in the water for like
41 is what my aqualad told me. Yeah.
So it was, because we floated on the water for a while and then we were probably on the boat for 4, 5, 6 minutes before
Jeff
brought it back up.
Yeah.
So I can't believe it. There will be people who are listening to this that won't believe it, but I've got lots of witnesses. And actually, now that I think of it, I'll see Jeff later today. If I can get him to tell the story just like into the phone, I'll include that audio clip. So maybe we'll drop that here if we can get it.
All right, Jeff, I've already rambled on about my side of losing my Aqualand and then you returning it to me. What was your side? What was it like when you, I don't know, were swimming around and spotted it?
Yeah, well, you know, we were topside for quite a bit and it was so dang hot. And, sitting there waiting, you know, for the rest of the crew to get into the water. But yeah, heard you yelling something and somebody
we were just staging.
We hadn't descended yet. We were waiting for a group photo up on top. I thought you had lost your new light. Didn't realize it was a watch at all. So anyways, I had my camera down there, taking some pictures for Citizen. And, towards the end of the dive, I meet up with Derek and Tom Place. And I see that everyone else is starting to head back up. So I signal to the other guys, hey, how much air do you have left? And we all had about 1,000 PSI. And I was like, you know what? You know, I've been spending so much time concentrating on photos. I haven't really looked and appreciated the wreck. So I signal to the guys, hey, let's do one last lap around. So, man, it was only like a third of the way back from the bow of the boat. And it was in silt. It wasn't on top of wood or anything, but it was right on top. I mean, maybe a half of it was kind of pressed into the silt a little bit, but it was obviously there. And that was surprising. So when I picked it up, I didn't realize it was yours. I didn't know whose it was, but obviously it was from one of us. So I put it in my pocket. The other guys didn't see me. But I'll tell you what, you know, so, you know, we were with SHIPS, which stands for Subaquatic Historical Interest and Preservation Society. And this is a shipwreck in the Great Lakes. You don't take anything from a shipwreck. So there was part of me for a split second. I was like, I need to leave that there. I'm not allowed to pick that up and touch it. But I did.
You so, grab it for
me. I put it in my pocket. We got back on the boat. Captain did the roll call. And he said, yeah, let's finish this roll call before people get back in the water. And I'm like, wait, we're only doing one dive. What's going on? And come to find out that you lost a watch. So I reached into my pocket and I'm like, hey, you mean this guy?
I couldn't believe it. It was quite a moment, man.
Yeah, it was great.
And I've got the dive record on the watch.
Oh, nice.
60 minutes and 1 second. Yeah. Sat down there.
Oh, really?
Man, I can't thank you enough for finding it. It was, I'm really thankful.
It was the first real treasure that I found on a shipwreck. So
if it ever needs a second home, it'll be yours.
Excellent.
Thanks so much. I appreciate
it. Yeah, it was great finally diving with you.
But yeah, after that, had the watch back on my wrist, cleaned up a little bit of gear, grabbed a Jimmy John's, and I got a shout out, Fathead's Brewery that Kelly brought, the Hazy Headhunter IPA, if you can find it, absolutely fantastic. I didn't need any more beers than I had, but had there been more of those, I would have had another one. And otherwise, we just kind of drove back. It was a much faster ride coming back, I guess, with the wind.
Yeah. We did take a little detour past the skyline in the evening, and we had a trailing wind and waves, so it wasn't choppy as badly, and to kind of cruise. And it was a lovely warm night, too, even out on the water. And, you know, being out on the lake there can be quite cold. I was just still in my shorts and dry shirt, and just kind of cruising past Navy Pier. There was a concert going on and lots of boats out on the water, and the skyline was all lit up. It just felt like everything was sort of set up just for us. And then, and as we were approaching the marina, there were fireworks shot off. It was like the welcome back for us. And a lot of kind of drunken revelers on the dock in the marina there. And quite the chaotic scene, kind of getting the stuff unloaded in the dark. I mean, it turned into a late night.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, the dock is literally next to a huge casino. And then where the marina is, but the actual dock where we port, like you could huck a piece of dive gear and hit a window of this horseshoe casino, I think it was called. Yeah. And so there's a lot of people and noise and things happening. And then just us all like dead tired, carrying gear out to cars. And at one point, like Chris and I walked to get his car, and it had to have been a mile.
Wow.
Which is way out to get the huge parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a full day, man. By the time we got back here, I've been like, oh, you know, because there was going to be a hangout going on at Chris's place. And I was like, oh, maybe I've got a third wind. I was like, no, you don't. Just go to bed. You gotta do a show in the morning. And you know, you're heading to the airport in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go head to the show and hang out with Tom and Ken and a few other folks for the afternoon. I have a later flight.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just a full day. I don't even know where to start with thanks. Obviously, Jeff Garrett's.
Yeah, right.
For finding my watch. Yeah. Watch Cows Dive. Give him a follow. He's actually, you know, he's been such a nice guy to know for several years. He gave us those, that fidget spinner.
Yes, that's that, right.
That's lived on my desk for several years. Yeah. It's like a ship's wheel.
Yeah.
Made out of brass. And I love that. And now I've got the Garrett's recovered Aqualand.
Incredible.
Which I love. But a huge shout out to Chris Soule, to Landon, to everybody from Citizen, to Neil from Citizen, to
Mary and MJ.
Yeah, Mary and MJ, and certainly to Kyle Snar for helping kind of put it on and have everybody dialed in. And then a huge shout out to Ben for giving me a faulty bracelet that put my watch on the bottom of the lake, but also a great barbecue and a very cool hangout and the camaraderie level was just very high last night. And I can run on that for a long time as an only semi-social person.
Yeah. It will sustain me for a while. And it's, despite the gravelly voices and the fatigue, I mean, everything from start to finish, I mean, just from meeting folks at the show and then sushi and our hangout, and the watches and, you know, Greg's barbecue and the dive, to doing a show in person. I mean,
dude, I love
you
it.
Just can't,
this
you can't
is so
beat
nice.
It. It's great.
We've got our 3D printed DJI handles.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Like I remember we were setting up to do this and I was like, this something's missing. Like I feel so naked here. I don't have headphones on. I don't have my laptop. Even I'm looking at notes on my
phone.
Not
adjusting any levels.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We're not doing any sound checks or anything like that.
It's a brave new world. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
No, this has been great. An absolute banner weekend. You know, it's sometimes you wonder, you know, you come in Friday, you leave Sunday. That really gives you that one day.
Yeah.
And I don't think we could have made more out of yesterday.
No. Yeah. Right.
You know,
it's funny because, you know, we come here kind of under the auspices of going to wind up and certainly we did, and you're going to go back today, but, to spend a whole day out on the water, it's still watch adjacent, actually quite watch adjacent. But I love the mix of activity with the watch. That to me that's totally my wheelhouse. You know.
Well, and then we're riding back in the boat. It's now after sunset. I've got the tailing end of a delicious beer in hand. I'm chatting with Ben Lowry, and he goes, "This must be so different than all of the other watch events that you go to."
Yeah.
As press, I'm like, "Yeah, there's no champagne. There's no like crudités. That you know, there's just people I really like and respect having a good time in a way that doesn't feel." Even remotely performative.
Yeah, not at all.
This is, like I said, I don't know how else to put it. It's the kind of event and the kind of day that will sustain me for a long time. And the dive was good, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost indifferent to the dive. It's everything that's kind of wrapped around it is fun. To get in the water, it's been a minute for me. And to be able to test out some new gear again, the Deep Six stuff was awesome. That was all a delight.
Yeah.
So there's just so much to kind of unpack.
Yeah.
You know, you can ramble on and it's nice to do it in the same room, but
yeah,
I feel like, you know, we'll be referencing yesterday for many episodes to come. And I'm very much looking forward to this afternoon. I think I've talked about this before. I always just, if I'm somewhere, I'll buy the last flight.
Yeah.
And then if I run out of steam, I just go to the airport and see about
Oh, yeah.
Like Chicago to Toronto, there's like 6 or 7 flights today. Sure. So if I want to go back.
You know, right, right.
If there's nothing going on. But I'm sure there'll be something going to Ken Lamb will get me into some trouble. Somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, just an absolutely incredible one. And just a huge thank you to everybody who made it fun, made it an easy thing to do, made it a valuable thing to do. And then, you know, Citizen for being open to do the party. It's one of our favorite things to do is to sit and chat and have a nice time with folks face to face, and you know, the added benefit of getting to do this live with you is just such a treat.
Yeah,
it's fine over Zoom. I'm not against it.
Yeah, right. Right.
This is so nice, and just, you know, go for a walk to get coffee this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I have such an I think maybe less uncommon than it used to be, but 10 years ago this would be an exceptionally weird relationship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we know each other really well.
Yeah,
talk every week,
but hardly ever see each other.
Yeah, like I guess the equivalent of pen pals or something.
Yeah, right.
In these
days,
but. Yeah, a delight for sure.
Yeah.
Well, look, with that mostly covered and hopefully a fun little piece of audio from Jeff that I'll be able to drop in. You want to jump into some final notes?
Yeah, sure.
You want to go first? Because we've hinted yours already.
Yeah. So, you know, really cool kind of, it's not even watch swag. It's dive swag. It's swag that Chris Soule organized with Landon from Deep Six. For all of us who were diving yesterday, and it is it's a dive torch from a brand called Orca Torch, and I had never heard of Orca Torch before, but we all got an Orca Torch Orca 7, a 3000 lumen 6-degree narrow beam angle little handheld dive torch that just weighs next to nothing. It's just beautifully machined little thing with a USB-C rechargeable battery that you just unscrew the barrel of the torch and plug it in and it charges up, and I was impressed with how bright it was for the compact size.
Honestly, I was blown away.
Really great. Came in different colors and little case, some nice kind of dimpling and knurling on the barrel that made it easy to grip, kind of a wrist strap that I, you know, quickly just kind of put around my wrist and used, and just weighed nothing, just didn't get in the way. And made everybody very visible, and it was great in kind of the murky conditions. And then what was really cool is that they were all engraved with our names, and the Wind Up in a Lake 2026 kind of name on it as well. So I'm not going to go into the details. We'll throw a link in the show notes. But it's a really great, you know, I've had a lot of dive torches over the years. I also had a Hollis with me, and I've had a Kraken and some others. They're all great. But for kind of lumens to size to kind of form factor, this is really one of the nicest ones I've used, and it's $149.95 on orcatorchstore.com. So I'm super impressed with these. So
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, no. I
what color did you get?
Gray.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I think they gave us both gray for obvious reasons. The swag scenario was kind of nuts. And that's even in a world where there's a lot of swag that can go on, and the, you know, like merch, like, you know, gifts or whatever that come with it. And obviously Jason and I are kind of interlopers on the boat, but obviously super happy to be there. But I thought the flashlight was incredible. And the other thing, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff that we got, but the other thing I got that I had known about previously but probably never would have made the leap are these Ombras armless sunglasses. So everybody got a set of these Ombras sunglasses in there. It's just the front of the sunglasses, and then there's like a paracord with a slider at the back. And I've seen them on, you know, I've talked about Josh Fenn and his YouTube channel before. Josh Fenn wears these. I've seen them on his thing. And I remember going to their website and being like, oh, I am curious of this. It's kind of like splitting, or not splitting the difference. It's going full way on like the croquis to keep, you know, because you can have them hang around your neck.
Yeah.
So we got a set of these, and I put them on, and like in 2 minutes, I forgot that they weren't just normal sunglasses.
Oh, sure.
And the boat was throwing us around. There was wind. It was difficult to keep a hat on if you're on the top deck, that sort of thing. No issue at all with these. Very comfortable. They weigh nothing. I was just very impressed. Again, like much like with the torch, didn't pay for it. It was a gift for those on the boat. So these sell for $160. And in the world of sunglasses, I guess that's kind of middle range. These days, you're in the range of a Ray-Ban or something like that. I was super impressed. I like them a lot. They're very comfortable. I will get lots of use out of them. So if you're on the fence and you're interested and you're you know, fine with that price point, I think you'd be impressed as well. You see them I think maybe it's the kind of idea that maybe started with like fishing or something like that and now has got, become more casual. But the ones I got are called the Dolomite in a tortoiseshell sort of frame. And yeah, I'm a fan and very thankful for a chance to try a pair as part of the swag for that that boat trip.
Yeah, these are cool. I remember seeing when I was at out in California a couple of months ago, and I met Kyle there as well for another wind up dive thing. He was wearing these there, and he was kind of really touting them to me as well. And I'm impressed. But just looking at them, I mean, they sell a number of accessories. There's a nose pad riser, some side shields, like if you're going to use them as, you know, for skiing or mountaineering or something like that, and then a floaty. So, which I suppose would have been apt on a dive boat as well. But yeah, really cool product. You know, between that and the torch, and then we got some cool Snowpeak titanium water bottles for you citizens.
No, it was crazy.
Well. So it was great.
It's like Christmas on a dive boat.
It totally was. Yeah, and all very easy to take home too. So yeah, for
sure. Yeah, very wild stuff. Hugely thankful to the folks from Citizen, the folks from Wind Up and Worn and Wound, and like I said, to Chris Soule as well for the extending the invite and the hospitality. It was a great day.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a whole episode.
I think you're right.
Thanks so much for listening. If you would like to support the show, you can hit up thegrainado.com for more details. You can get into the TGN Slack. You can get yourself a TGN signed NATO. And you can come out to a future hangout. We've got one slated September for the Toronto Timepiece Show. Great party. That's going to be the Saturday night with Marathon. And then we're working on plans for Wind Up in New York, which should be very exciting. And when we have anything actually concrete to share for any of that, RSVPs or otherwise, you'll hear about it on the show. And if you're in the TGN Slack crew, you'll probably hear about it a little bit earlier there first. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah. Music, as always, is by Jazzar via the Free Music Archive. And just a reminder that we will be off for the next couple of weeks. And so we will be back in early August. And we leave you with this quote from Mark Twain, who said, "She is always a novelty, for she is never the Chicago you saw when you passed through the last time."